listening live. The WestBranchFootball.com Talking Bear podcast, powered by Who Project. We're live here at Main Street Suites in downtown West Branch. If you're listening and you want to come join us, please do so. A couple seats left available here. He's Matt Shenander. I am Jason Miller. And we want to thank you, the listeners, every week, each and every week, for joining us here on Talking Bear Football. Man, we got a lot to talk about this week. I mean, it was just a normal week of football. 42-0, by the way, the final last Friday night. The Bears defeated Wapello here at the Little Rose Bowl. But some other things going on towards the end of the game that we'll get to. But 7 wins, 0 losses, 1-0 again for the 7th time this week. Had some things that the Bears that need to work on. I'm sure the coaches talked to them yesterday morning during film session. But 42-0. The defense continues to play well, only offering up a little over 7 points a game this year.
Yeah, the defense, I think, has certainly been the staple of this team so far this year. I mean, as well as the offense has done, you know, supporting that defense, the defense has made it very easy for the offense to go out there and just be comfortable and relaxed and not having any pressure on the offense to actually score points. And I think that's where this offense does best, is where they're just cool, calm, relaxed, not under any pressure, and they can just go out there and have fun playing football and doing what they love to do on Friday nights.
You know, and I just said it, and you said we need to stay calm and cool and do what we want to do, and I mentioned there are some things we need to shore up. That's funny to say. It's sort of ironic I say that, given this team now, after 7 weeks, leads Class 1A in scoring per ball game at a little over 44 points a game. They're the leading offensive scoring offense in the class, and the second best defense in the class. Again, only giving up a little over 7 points. St. Ansgar leads that at a little over 3 points a game. That's pretty darn ridiculous, both of those statistics. But I think overall, through 7 games, the coaches had to be pretty pleased with what's been happening.
Yeah, certainly. I really think you couldn't ask for much more, other than, as you said, just a couple things here and there that the team really needs to clear up before the regular season ends and the playoffs start, which the Bears are officially in now.
They are.
And I teased it last week, but it is official now.
You asked me if it was official last week. I said it was close. This week I can say with 100% certainty that the Bears are in. Once you get to 4 district wins, it is a mathematical certainty that you were in the playoffs. The Bears hypothetically could lose their last 2 games, and they will still be the number 2 seed in this district and host a first-round playoff game. So those of you hungering for an extra game at home, at least one, we only, as Matt cued last week, the last 2 years, the Bears in the regular season have only been offered 4 games at home by the Iowa High School Athletic Association. Thank you very much, fellas and ladies over there. But this year, we're going to get at least one more, and the 5th one is going to be in the postseason here in about a little over 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, and I believe if the Bears do win out, Jay, all the games will be at home?
All the games, all the playoff games will be at home. If West Branch wins next week, they would be district champions. It would be a mathematical certainty. They would be locked in as the district champ with a win next week at Wilton. First things, we'll get to that. And then if they were to win the 9th game at home against Alburnett, of course, being 9-0, well, if you're 9-0, you're usually the district champ, right?
I think so.
Mathematically,
yeah.
I think there's a good chance that you beat everybody you play.
Yes.
So that means everybody else has at least one loss in your district. That puts them at a district champ. And district champions host at least the first 2 rounds. And this year, if you are at the end of the alphabet, as we mentioned last week on the podcast here, that you have the advantage if there are 2 teams that are tied with the same record that go to the end of the alphabet. Not very many teams on the east side of the state in Class 1A that are later in the alphabet than West Branch.
No.
We've already chronicled that. So
not in 1A, no.
So let's talk Bear football. 42-0 again, the final on Friday night, Matt. The Bears came out, scored 13 points in the first quarter, 15 points in the second, 28-0 the score at halftime. It actually could have and should have been probably 35 or 42-0 at halftime, but give Wapello credit, running some nice blitz packages to stop the Bears. Nice goal line stand in the second quarter, in the first quarter when the Bears had 1st and goal at the 9, and the Bears got nothing out of it.
Yeah, the Wapello defenders covered the Bears receivers very, very well. Lucas Lamont really had nowhere to throw to.
And it was sooner or later. You know, teams are going to start packing things in, and he's going to burn you. It's just a thing. Coach Peterson talks about that each and every week. If you want to pack 7, 8, 9 guys in the box and try to stop the run, talk Luke Lennox and Drake Devin Kinden had a very strong performance the other night on Friday night. The Bears, Luke is going to find a way to beat you. He's smart enough to pick an audible out when he needs to, as evidenced as a few passes he'll throw out to a wing. I don't know if that's an audible or not, but if he needs to call one, he's going to call. He's smart enough to do that as a two-year starter and a very intelligent kid.
Yeah, we talk about his smartness, I think, every week. And he, whether it's, you know, calling audibles at the line, throwing to the correct receivers, doing his job on read options, waggle plays, whatever it may be, he's getting smarter every week.
He is, and you know, this is his 17th game as a high school, as a West Branch starting quarterback. So each week he's going to grow and find a lot more confidence in the guys he's throwing the balls to, and specifically going to have a lot of confidence because we say it each and every week on this podcast, and each and every week you can continue to bring this up. But when you have the behemoths in front of you, the strength and speed of the guys in front of you, the five, six guys the Bears can run through on the offensive line, it kind of give you a little bit more confidence to know that you're probably going to have, he's going to be able to play duck, duck, goose and run around the circle two or three times before he's going to get any pressure.
Yeah, and he ran all over the field Friday night. It seemed like, I remember several plays that he had, waggle plays, I believe, where I know one of them was the, I think it was a 19-yard touchdown runner that he had. Another one there on the first drive of the game, I think he had a 15, 20-yard run over the right side and kind of just zigzagging around the right side of the field and finally being taken down after a great gain. So, yeah, if he's not going to be able to pass, he can run it, hand it off to Lenick or Kendon to run it as well. So it's really great that this offense has two sides to it, the running and the passing, and whichever one the defense wants to key in and stop, the Bears are going to be able to successfully run or pass.
42-0 in the final quarter, scoring 13-0, 15 in the second quarter, so 28-0 at halftime. West Branch had the lead, 35-0 after three. The clock was running after that continuously in Iowa High School Athletic Association rules. If you're up 35 or more in the second half, the clock will continue to run, except in a few instances. And then another seven in the fourth quarter to bring the final tally to 42-0. Some statistics for West Branch. Luke Lenock, another workmanlike performance, just ho-hum, didn't really even break a sweat on 13 carries, 145 yards, another two touchdowns, brings his season total, I believe, up to 15 touchdowns, or 17 touchdowns, sorry. School record is 30, I want to say 34 rushing touchdowns. You're going to have
to... regular season?
No, total.
Oh,
total,
okay.
I should say. Thank you for the correction.
Yeah.
Total season, Cade Jones, I believe, had 32 or 34.
Wow. Yeah, you mentioned Lenick had 140-some the other night, and just with his runs, it didn't seem like he had that many touches,
oh.
You know, just from watching the game. And I think it's because he didn't have some of those really big 20, 30-yard explosive runs like he has had. You know, you could count a handful of them through every game this season. This last game, there were maybe just one or two of those big explosive runs. So that's maybe why it didn't seem like he was getting the ball a lot, but
yeah.
The numbers sure show it.
And listening to Stephen Grace and Jody Krieger on the call on Friday, I listened to it last night. Of course, during the game, I'm not able to listen to it, but I brought it back last night, and I was listening over and over. I continued to hear them say each and every time Luke touches the ball, it's almost tough to see him. He's so low to the ground. A, it's tough for defenders to pick that up. And two, the first guy is not going to bring that kid down. He's just so strong. So many of his runs that go for 13, 15 yards, you almost expect it. And Friday night he had 13 carries for 145, averaging just right around a little over 11 yards a carry.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like he's going 11 yards and going down.
Right.
Usually he's going 3-4 yards, spinning off a guy, stiff arm another mm-hmm. guy, and then carrying two guys with him. 400 pounds on his back, bringing him down.
Yeah, he did that, I think, a couple times for two of his touchdown runs in the second and, I believe, third quarter on Friday night. He wonderful blocks out ahead of him, and he missed tacklers, broke off guys, and made it in the end zone after a lot of Wapello guys touching him. So it's not like these are easy runs. He's really working to get these yards and getting those scores.
He is. Well, let's take about a 15-second break here. When we get back from this break, Voice of the Bears on the webcast, Stephen Grace is going to join us and talk with Matt here, talk a little bit about Friday night's game and some of what they thought about last Friday and some things that are coming up in West Branch football. We'll be right back with you in about 15 seconds here on WestBranchFootball.com Talkin' Bear Podcast.
All right, we are back here with Talking Bear Football Podcast live at Main Street Suites in West Branch. And I have here joining me Stephen Grace, the voice of the West Branch Football webcast, the Bearcast, as we call it. Also the owner of Main Street Suites, so thank you for joining me here, Stephen. Yeah. And it's awesome that we've got the chance to be down here utilizing this your awesome shop. And
thanks for inviting me.
Live.
I almost had a hard time finding it today.
Well, before we started, we didn't know whether you were going to be able to. You were going to be here.
Yeah, I had to. I've got a busy October, to say the least. I'm not even going to be around next Friday night, so I've got a million things lined up all of this month. But I was able to get back early enough to come down and join you guys today, and try to get a bunch of things done so that I can be gone Thursday through Sunday next week, and get ready for hopefully senior night, big win, and then looking ahead to the playoffs as well.
Yeah. Well, I suppose next Friday night I could fill in for you.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I'll kick you in some cheese balls for it. Okay.
Thank you. Or right now too. You know.
Betty.
So Stephen, the Bears are 7-0. You know, you've been calling the games on the Bearcast, both and on TV on the away games. So, what is kind of your overall impression of the Bears so far?
Just
kind of
a
overview.
Overview. I mean, just a really talented team. I mean, this is a team that comes in. You've got a lot of senior leadership. You've got a lot of guys with experience. Like Jason was talking about, you got the big hog mollies, like I like to call them up front. You know, you got a big offensive line that in Class 1A is going to provide you so many benefits. And they're balanced. I mean, you've got Luke Lenock back there at running back, and just, you know, phenomenal stats coming into, you know, after the game. You know, 1,300 yards, 17 touchdowns. I mean, he's lowered his average to under 200 yards per game because he only carried it 13 times Friday night. So, I mean,
we're going to have to talk to Coach Peterson about that.
But as we've seen a couple of games so far this year, we've had opponents that'll come in, they're stacking the box, they're putting nine guys, they're blitzing everything. So then Lucas Lamont says, all right, he steps back. He's got three or four really quality receivers that know how to run good routes. They catch the ball with their hands. You know, they just do everything offensively really well. And then you turn around and you flip it around. You've got an aggressive defense, very physical. You've got the two big boys in St. John and Giese up front really clogging up the middle. That takes at least two or three offensive linemen away.
Right.
And then that frees up the linebackers to do things. Mm-hmm. And those guys are very smart. They can see what's going on. They're well coached. They well scout their opponents. And, you know, they're able to fly to the football. I don't know how many times we've seen this year that, hey, you've got five, six, seven black jerseys around the football making that stop because everybody sees it, they're getting to it, and that's where you have success, is when you've got both sides clicking and you're able to do so many good things.
Sure. Now, you know, of all the good things that we've seen from the team and that we've talked about, there are certainly a couple things that the team can improve on, and I think one of those is going to be the defensive secondary,
mm-hmm.
Especially when the Bears get in the postseason and if we start playing some passing teams. And I know I've said this all season, but a lot of the teams that I've seen lose in the playoffs, especially against a passing team, is because their secondary hasn't been very stout,
right.
And been able to do that, you know, stop that passing game. So with that, and then, you know, I'm certainly that's something that you've seen as well.
Yeah.
What are some other things that you think that this team needs to improve on to be able to make a really deep run in the playoffs?
Well, like you said, the secondary, and that was really exposed in that North Cedar game.
Yeah.
But as we've seen, you know, they were able to go in and make some adjustments both at halftime and after that game.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were able to play a lot better coverage against Bellevue, really shut down a high-powered Bellevue offense, and they were able to tackle a lot better. That was, you know, a little bit of the problem. Some of the other things, you know, they've had some issues, you know, the last few weeks especially, where teams are blitzing. And,
yeah,
you know, guys are going to different gaps and making sure that they're able to seal that and get protection, not have too many tendencies so that teams know, okay, we're always going to run this play in this situation, but being able to, okay, the team's blitzing this way, we're just going to push them because everything's going the opposite way, or be able to protect it well enough that you give Lucas Lamont enough time that he can get it down the field to one of his receivers.
Exactly.
So, and then, I mean, obviously some special teams areas.
Yep.
You know, we had, you know, a couple weeks ago with Durant, a few missed extra points. We had another missed extra point Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Punt returns. I mean, that's one thing that I know Coach Roush and Coach Peterson are both saying, catch the football. That's all you have to do is catch the football.
Yep.
I mean, that could easily be 10 or 15 yards of field position.
Yeah.
When you're getting into some of these games, you know, against the top teams, 10, 15 yards could be the. I mean, that's an extra first down that you have to get.
Yep.
And that, you know, that's monstrous.
And
so
I think with these punt returns sometimes too is that it really comes down to experience in receiving punts, because each game you're going to face a totally different style of punter,
mm-hmm.
And even that punter is going to vary throughout the game as well in terms of his consistency and how he's kicking the football. You might see a low line drive. You might see a real high floating kick.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those types of punts, in order to receive those, it's two totally different
right.
styles.
Oh, I'm not saying it's an easy thing
yeah,
back
no,
there,
okay,
to say the least.
Right, yeah.
But
so,
and you know, that's, you know, by design, we normally send two receivers
yeah.
back, because you'll see times where teams will try to kick away.
Mm-hmm.
They'll maybe give up some yardage on the kick to kick away and prevent
yeah.
any kind of a return,
yep.
or try to get that bounce. You know, Durant, we saw they were doing a lot of different things, and you know, they were kicking. We had to keep our defense up, but you know, that's one of those keys, is if you can get, you know, Hayes, Shaver, Black have all been back there. You know, get them, make sure they're focusing. Don't worry about the return first. Make sure you're in a good position. Catch the ball
yep.
so that you save that field position. If it's in a good situation, you've got some good blocking, go ahead, you know, lower the head and get up the field, make some plays, and, you know, try to get extra yardage out of it. But the key is to make sure that you catch it,
yeah.
you don't turn it over, you
yep.
don't give up an extra 15 yards of field position.
Yeah, yeah, and you said the big key is, one, just to catch it, and two, if you feel like you have some room, go ahead and run. If not, just call it a fair catch, but make sure you catch it.
Yeah.
It all kind of circles back to
yeah.
making sure you catch that football, because, you know, as you said, you let that ball go, you could potentially put your offense in
yeah.
some really bad field positions.
And,
so.
I mean, special teams-wise, too, you know, it was a little unique this past Friday night against Wapello, but, you know, the one time that we had a kickoff or that there was a little bit of breakdown, it was actually the receiver dropped the ball, and then it was just kind of panic back there. But, you know, got to make sure that all those guys are staying in their lanes, you're staying home, and you also have to make sure that Devin Kennan's doing a good job getting some height on the kickoff to give his coverage team time to get down there.
Yep.
There again, maybe you get a little more height, you're only kicking it to the 15
yep.
rather than a line drive down to the 8.
And that's okay.
But you get more time, you're tackling the guy when he gets to the 20 or 25
exactly.
instead of giving him time to get out to the 30 or 35.
Exactly. Now, Steven, on Friday we saw you on the Weather Channel all day. Your couple-second clip on there. And
I still haven't had any autograph requests either, so I don't know what's going on.
We'll hook you up here after.
Although they did turn their heads. I was just coming. I was watching the 5th and 6th graders up there, and of course, everybody I know, and they're like, "Hey, Steve's here. Hey, Steve. Hey, Steve. Hey, Steve." Like, "Hey, yeah, I'm here. Yo, I've got to take a bow."
Well, I think in that clip you were talking about, you know, how it's, you look back on it and you just think about, wow, I was able to be a part of West Branch football. So what are some of your memories playing for Coach Peterson, being on the football team, and what do you think makes West Branch football so special?
Well, like I said, I mean, when you're a teenager, you kind of take everything for granted. You're invincible and you're immortal and you're going to live forever. And then all of a sudden it comes to an end one night and you say, oh, wow,
yeah.
I'm not going to have this anymore. And so, you know, you can look back on it and say, wow, this is just amazing. It's a great time. But, you know, just a lot of great memories. You know, I was fortunate enough as a sophomore, I got to dress with the varsity for the playoffs. We got to go up to the Uni Dome. Unfortunately, we lost to Pleasantville. I think we had a pass attempt intercepted at the goal line inside of a minute to go, and we lost by 6. But I had a chance to be, you know, out on the field, come out from the garage door. You know, that was one of the first memories. It was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That was the same year I scored a touchdown as a linebacker, too. But
I'm sure that ranks up there
yeah,
as well.
It was at
right?
Regina, too, but,
oh.
you know, nobody's keeping track.
Yeah.
But
that makes it more special, huh?
You know, just the opportunity to be with the guys, to, you know, come out, you know, you get into that rhythm of, you know, Monday you come in and you get the scouting report and you start working on things, and just seeing that all kind of culminate on a Friday night and seeing that success and, you know, being part of so many successful teams. I mean, sophomore year, got to play a little bit varsity in the postseason. We won a couple games, including a very cold one down at Belle Plaine. You know, junior year, everybody was writing us off. They thought, oh, they've lost so much, and boom, we come through 9-0. I think probably my favorite memory of that year is Aaron Vincent at Williamsburg, and I know Coach Peterson's right over my shoulders. He probably remembers this. Vinny, with an interception, ran it back for a touchdown. I think that's the fastest I've ever seen Coach Peterson run. He was sprinting down the field, leaping up in the air. He was so excited because there was so much pressure, so much outside pressure going on about trying to get that game, and everybody thought Williamsburg would just steamroll us, and we just went in there, and we took care of business, and that really sealed the deal, and it was just like – Yes, all right. And so,
well, I don't think we'll see Coach Peterson doing that anytime soon here.
But yeah, you know, that was great. And then, you know, just the opportunity that I had, you know, Coach had confidence in me to be able to go out as a starter my senior year. And I know that some of the politics that go into it, but he fought for me as a first team district offensive lineman, which really meant a lot to me. That, you know, as a 180-pound center in Class 2A, wasn't the biggest guy, but yeah, being able to go out there and just recognize things. And, you know, kind of wish looking back that I learned as much between my sophomore and junior year that I did between my junior and senior year, because it would have made a lot of difference in my playing career.
Steven, two things before we wrap up with you. We've got traveling to Wilton next week, and then we have at home against Albernett for senior night. What are you thinking about these two games as far as the Bears go, seeing what they can improve on, seeing some different things they can try, and, you know, whether they can win these games as well?
Well, I think on paper they are very winnable games. I mean, it should be a situation that we go in and take care of business. Like we've seen a few times, though, we need to make sure, you know, Durant, we came out, we were pretty flat. We thought we would just walk in and win that game. We need to make sure Friday night down at Wilton, they're going to be ready. They're fighting for a playoff spot. So you know that they're going to be ready to play. Same thing with Albernett. So we have to come out, you know, set the bar high, really raise the challenge to the opponent. Don't let them say, well, here's what we're going to do. We need to dictate what's going on and really just hammer it away. And then, you know, it's really to the point of hopefully fine-tuning some things in the offense, maybe showing a few wrinkles to make teams think about it, but not give too much. Be able to work on some of those things that you've been trying in practice, so that once you do get into the playoffs and you need something different that you haven't tried most of the year, you can say, well, we've done it in a game a few times, and be able to execute it to perfection.
Sure, certainly. Well, thank you, Steven. Thanks for talking with us. We will be back here shortly. Jason and I will talk a little bit more about upcoming game, and then we'll get some words from Coach Peterson. You are listening to Talking Bear Football on WestBranchFootball.com, and we are live from Main Street Suites.
Welcome back. Talking Bear Football Podcast live from Main Street Suites in downtown West Branch. Matt Chenander, Jason Miller here. It was great to be able to talk with one of the co-owners here, along with his wife, Jessica, Stephen Grace, at Main Street Suites on location. Not only is the owner, he's a former Bear. Again, he helps us out on the Bearcast on Friday nights, and it's a wonderful resource to have him to be able to use inside of West Branch football, man.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So excited when we're able to get him on board doing the Bearcast. Certainly brings a very dynamic element to the broadcast, and I know I've heard from so many people that everybody loves listening to him.
And you think about this, is that we get him. The good news is this. You've got really nice equipment here. He's been kind of itching to get Mark Ironside in here with him to do half of it, but I want to protect our equipment on all the road games and home games. Mark, I love you to death, but I'm a little worried about it.
We'll let Mark just do the wrestling stuff with Steven.
After the Bears score touchdowns, he instead of kicking extra points, he'd be yelling at Coach Peterson, "What are you doing? We need two. So anyway, let's just wrap the Wilton game up. The Wapello game up before we get into the Wilton game. You were talking about it with Steven a little bit. Again, 42-0. The final Friday night, 325 yards of total offense for West Branch, 98 yards of total offense for Wapello, and a little over 60 of those total of those 98 yards came on the final series, where against the second team defense of West Branch. But good news in that the Indians got down to inside the 10, had first and goal. The second team guys pitched a shutout right there, obviously on the scoreboard. And a goal line stand led by Tubbs. Jacob Jenrich with the big hammer coming in the backfield, covering the post route. The kid does it all.
He was playing linebacker, and I was watching him when he was playing that middle linebacker position. He was able to pick up on a couple of slot receivers and follow him down the field and keep him covered. So it's kind of a fun sight to watch. It always is when you get some second team guys in there and watch what they're able to do.
Right, I mentioned Luke Lennox, 13 carries, 145, two touchdowns. Devin Kindon, I called him the lunch pail player for West Branch last week. Another perfect example of that. Again, he kicks off, he punts, kicking the extra points. On top of five carries for 68 yards and a and a 27-yard touchdown in which, if you watch the film back, or I'm sure you'll remember it in your mind, Matt, ran through, spun around 6-7 defenders for 15 yards, spinning off of people. It was a pretty impressive run towards the north end zone. Also, Lucas Lamont had six carries, 34 yards, and a rushing touchdown to go along with his 8 completions out of 15 attempts, 96 yards, not quite 100, and 1 touchdown, that being a 4-yard strike to begin the scoring to the aforementioned Mr. Kindon. 42-0 the final, so let's close that up. Move on to Wilton, Matt. In the last few years, Wilton has had the Bears' number. They have been, I don't even want to say the better, they have been the better team on that night. A couple years ago, it was a fairly even matchup over in Wilton in 2012, 42-35 the final, Wilton the win. Last year, it was a completely different story. They took it to West Branch. I believe it was 42-28 was the final, and it really wasn't as close as the scoreboard would show. I want to say it was about 42-28. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
That is correct.
And it was in West Branch.
Correct.
The Bears actually had a 34-28 at one time. With the ball and a chance, and they fumbled it away, and you can't give Wilton the opportunity with the athletes they had last season to have another shot.
And, you know, especially the coaching staff that they had as well. It's always fun to have the Coach Peterson versus Coach Peterson matchups.
Let me tell you this much. When we get Coach Butch Peterson on the air here in a few minutes, you ask him what he thinks about those Coach Peterson versus Coach Peterson matchups. I think the last word on his mind would be fun. That is the biggest. That's the most nerve-wracking. That's something they don't want.
Or thank goodness they're over.
They're over now. I don't think we're, unless we get that old Eastern Iowa Hawkeye Conference matchup with Mount Vernon. Boy, those were some battles of my youth. But that's for another day, another show. But Wilton comes into this game a little bit down, coming off a 50-14 loss last week versus Alburnett, who was West Branch's Week 9 opponent. That puts them at 2-2 in the district. I believe at 3-4 overall. Correct me if I'm wrong on that one, please.
That is correct. Yep.
Okay. That was actually a lucky guess without having looked. But I knew they were 2-1 going into district last week before they lost to Alburnett. 2-2 now.
Correct.
So that kind of gives out, you know, from a district standpoint, then I know it's talking Bear football, but this is all part of one. District looks like West Branch at 4-0. North Cedar, I believe, at 4-1 in the district. Or 3-1.
3-1.
Alburnett is either
3-2.
They've lost 2. So 3-2. So they're pretty, I would guess they're pretty well locked in. With one more, they have one more out of district game and one more district game against Wapello. Mm-hmm. No offense to Wapello, but Bellevue is the better team. So we'll give them 4-2, and that puts them strongly at the 3 seed because they can't get better than that because they lost to North Cedar,
right?
Who's not going to lose another game, and they've got Wapello yet on the schedule. So I will give them that one. So, at any rate, so the Bears are going to be, with a win Friday coming up, we already teased this a little bit, they would be district champions for the 22nd time they'd be either conference or district champions. That'd be playoff appearance. It'd be 22. I'm going to have to get back on the other stat off the top of my head.
You don't know that?
It's rare that I don't. It's a number. I want to say it's 18. How about 18? You can check me on that one on our website. You've got it right there on westbranchfootball.com.
Let me look.
Check it out. But if they win Friday, they'll be district champions. And that will be the first time since 2010. In fact, this is the first time West Branch has been 7 wins, 0 losses since the 2010 season, which was a semifinal year. So what do you got? Give me a count.
Conference/district championships, I believe it would be 23, dating back to 1929.
Back to 19. So I was on the number to begin with. Now, district championships are obviously a little bit less.
Yeah, the district. I don't have that broken down here.
Since 1992, it's been district football. It's a boatload. They've all been under head coach Butch Peterson. So And what a better, no better team to do that against than Wilton, because they're the next team on the schedule, so it might as well be them. They come in statistically, well, here's what we have. They have not, as of this moment, they have not updated their quick stats, iowa.org page, which needs to be done by tomorrow. Then we'll have their full stats. Javon Drake, a junior quarterback, played tight end and wide receiver for them last year. 62 out of 124 for 725 and 6 touchdowns through 6 games. He also was their leading rusher at 62 carries, 302 yards, and 1 touchdown through 6 games. Now, his stats won't change because he did not play the other night against Alburnett. Zach Kepi is their next leading rusher, 64 carries, 247, and he may be out for the season due to injury, is my understanding. Now, don't take that as 100% solid, but I'm getting it from a few reliable sources on that one. Bryce Ovesen, who Coach Peterson, I spoke with him a little bit before, really likes the way he carries the football, number 34, I believe. 42 carries, 151, and he might have switched his number and be playing offensive line now. A lot of things going on over there in Wilton.
Interesting.
A lot of nice different storylines that, unlike the last few years where they've had Tyler Hetzler at quarterback, Caleb Schmidt, and Seth Kaufman, and hard-running Coy Snyder, the question marks weren't there at their skill positions the last 2 years. So
yeah, it's certainly a a different look Wilton team this season. As you've alluded to, they've been a pretty tough challenge for West Branch, and it's always been great games against them. It's always fun to go up against them, especially with Lance coaching, and then just all their great players that they had as well. But yeah, this, like I said, this is certainly a different Wilton team that we're going to be facing down there. To be blunt, I expect the Bears to do very well and win this ball game.
They got a 50-50 chance. So
yeah, I mean, you're either going to win or lose.
Yeah, as my mother would always tell, they're either going to win or going to lose, she'd always tell me. In fact, here's a fun stat. You don't say this very much from a West Branch football perspective. The last five times West Branch and Wilton have played, Wilton, 4 wins, West Branch, 1.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hope that chat changes to 4-2 so we even start evening up the score as we get into the sixth matchup in the last 6 years. What I look for in this game, Matt, I look for West Branch to come out, shore up some of those things that didn't happen last week against Wapello at the Little Rose Bowl. I see West Branch being able to pound ground and pound against anyone, but I really see them be able to throw the football next Friday night. Looking at the film so far, I think the Bears can exploit a size difference and a quickness difference. You know, as we've already alluded to today, I say that for the second time, I love that word alluding, and alluding to is one of my favorite phrases, and when you're doing sports, is that the offensive line at West Branch, he's going to have a lot of time. If they want to put 8-9 in the box, he's going to make a quick read, and he's going, and Lucas Lamont, inside 0 to 15 yards, you give me, the choice of any other quarterback at the Iowa high school level. We're biased because this is Talking Bear Football on westbranchfootball.com.
Well, we're somewhat objective.
We are.
At times.
But you look back, you look at the way he throws the football from 1 to 15 yards.
Mm-hmm.
It is there. It is on time. It is on target.
Yep. Yeah, and that's really improved over the last several weeks. As far as his accuracy is, his smarts, his decision-making, and like I said earlier in the show, I expect that to get better the more experience that he has.
You know, on the high school football level in Class 1A Iowa, if you're 8 out of 15 for 96 yards, there are probably about 90% of the teams in this class that would take those statistics. For Lucas Lamont, I mean, that's below how he usually performs. 8 out of 15 puts his season totals at 65 of 96, 67.7% completion, and he has crossed the 1,000 passing marker, 1,058 yards, 13 touchdowns, 1 interception. Become very few quarterbacks in West Branch history, I think we can count them on about one hand, have had back-to-back 1,000-yard passing seasons, probably maybe less than 10. Let's go with that. Yet another, that's one of those hidden statistics that I would have to research. I know that it's been I'm not sure. I think Brandon Young threw for 1,000 2 years. I know Caleb Walder did it for 3 years. And I know he was the first three-year 1,000-yard quarterback in the history of West Branch football back in the first half of the 2000. Well, right now, switching gears, head coach Butch Peterson joins us here on the podcast. Coach, we're doing this live. It takes us back to like we're doing the Coach's Corner all over again over there, except no Western omelets and Diet Pepsi's here for you to have. But thanks for joining us here at Main Street Suites downtown West Branch.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about last Friday night's game, Wapello. It's a team that I think you probably had a little bit of confidence on, had some confidence that you guys could do a lot of good things. Defensively, you expected to have a pretty strong performance. They have all year, Coach. As we talked to after the game the other night, through 7 games, only offering up a little over seven points a game as a defense, and as the defensive coordinator, that's got to make you happy.
It's always good to get a shutout, and we knew going into the game if we didn't follow our game plan that we would be pretty strong in what we were trying to do, and that kind of panned out that way. And yeah, if you can hold an opponent to 7 points through seven ball games now, that's pretty salty. And we've given up 51 points, and we had another real good night the other night.
42-0, the final last Friday night. The Bears are now, as I brought up at the beginning of this program, averaging a little bit over 44 points a game, which leads Class 1A in scoring offense. Yet I think Friday, you probably would say that even though 42-0 and a win is the most important thing that we have in that, there are some things that you'd like probably could shore up even to be a better football team than what they're doing right now.
Well, I thought at times we didn't play with the emotion that we normally played with. I know Jared was extremely upset with the offense. There are some things that I know will be worked on this week, and Jared Tiley has done an excellent job since taking over for Larry Rummels as my offensive coordinator, and I know when he gets upset, he's a competitor, and the kids are going to hear about it this week, and they will come out Friday night, and they will play to their ability. I'll guarantee you that.
Well, it's Wilton on the schedule Friday night. For the last 5 or 6 years, West Branch has played them. You looked over on the other sidelines, and you were seeing kind of double with the last name being the same. And Son on the other sidelines, Matt, brought this up earlier in the program, saying it was a fun sort of dynamic. And I said, not trying to step on Matt's toes, but I said, I can tell you one of the last words that probably came into your mind during that week was fun.
I hated playing Wilton when Lance coached, because you beat him, you feel bad for him. He beats you, you feel worse. So it was a lose-lose for myself, and I don't like to play my own son. I mean, that's not fun at all.
No. Well, you got to coach him, you got to coach against him, but now this year it's a whole new slate, Coach. Brand new season, brand new team, brand new faces over there in Wilton. Gone are Tyler Hetzler, quarterback, Coy Snyder, running back, and the strong receiving core they've had the last couple of years. Right now they're 3-3, 4 losses on the season, 2-2 in the district after being beaten by Al Burnett, who's West Branch's Week 9 opponent, 50-14 on Friday night. But there's a lot of tension and it's a rivalry. Let's just call it that.
Yeah, and the score last Friday was not indicative of the Wilton football team. They had 4 starters that didn't play, including their quarterback, and you take out 4 starters and our quarterback, and we're kind of a different-looking team, too. And Wilton, they'll be back. All 4 starters are back. Kepi, I'm not sure about yet, but the rest of them will play Friday night, and they'll come out, and they'll battle us, and they'll do a great job. And I know I'm excited to play that. Lance coached 10 years there. Wilton had never been to the state playoffs, and he took him to the state playoffs for the first time in 8 out of 10 years. He took Wilton to the state playoffs, so he had a lot of commitment to that program and really liked the program. But last spring, their administration decided to, for cost saving, they would save $8,000 and divide all that AD job up among all the administration. Thus, you know, he lost an $8,000 package. And obviously, if anybody had any brains whatsoever, they would have understood that he has to look at another job. And he did apply for the Mount Vernon job and got the job, and is very happy at Mount Vernon. He's got those kids winning. They have an opportunity to have a winning season. They have an opportunity to go to the state playoffs, and they haven't had a winning season, to my knowledge, for 7 years.
Correct.
And it's been a while up in Mount Vernon. He'll turn that program around, and it's going to be Mustang football of old up in Mount Vernon, believe me. But Friday, I have a little I'm anxious to play Wilton. It's a game that I would like to see us play extremely well in. And, you know, I think it's very loyal. When you're a coach and you give other coaches positions on a staff, and then when you leave, obviously, you would hope that those coaches would be positive about your departure and things of that sort. And I don't know if that's taking place down there. So we'll find out Friday night how that all pans out.
Well, you had the opportunity to look at the film yesterday and today on Wilton. What are some of the things you expect from the Beavers?
They're definitely a sprint-out type team. The quarterback's very good. He's a tremendous athlete. I really like the Overson kid, the running back, number 34. He's a sophomore. His dad was one of Lance's coaches for many years, Ron, down there, and he does a great job. And they're gonna be a handful. They're gonna do a lot of trips. They're gonna use doubles. They're gonna use empties. They're gonna run quarterback draw. They're gonna run jet sweep. They're gonna do a variety of different things. And we're gonna prepare for all that. And we're gonna get after them. One of the keys in a game like this is to pin your ears back and go hit them. And I would be real surprised if our defense didn't play hard and really get after people and put a smack on them, because we're ready to play Wilton. And we've been waiting for this game all year long.
You expect the team to go 1-0 each week. Matt Brain, that's one of his favorite things to say, 7-0 right now. All right, this is what you would hope to be. Are you living – if you would have said after 7 weeks, I have these expectations, have you met them or exceeded them?
I don't think you ever meet your expectations until the last game's over. Then okay. You go back and you evaluate how your season went. We're certainly pleased that we're 7-0. We think that we can be better. We haven't really improved as much as I would have liked the last couple of weeks. We've had some kids that are hurt. We've had a lot of kids that were sick. So we haven't had a full group of practice since the North Cedar game. And when you're putting people in and out, you lose some continuity, you lose some consistency. And we told the kids on Saturday, make sure you show up at practice and ready to go on Monday. It would be nice that everybody was there for a full week's practice. And I certainly believe that's what's going to happen. They're all going to be there. They're ready to go. Their brother, Jacob Giese, is somebody that they want to defend, and they want to protect him Friday night, because there's some things going around about we're going to go get Jacob Giese type of stuff. And I think that's inappropriate in high school football. And our kids will protect each other that night. And Jacob will play in a classy manner like he's always done, and he'll hold his own, believe me.
You say the word protect, and we keep bringing this up each and every week on this program, and each and every week during the Bearcast, it's pretty tough not to see it at the Class 1A football level or any level, the protection that this offensive line, at the size and the strength and the quickness that these kids, the 6'7" kids that you can put up front, that can put out there to open up lanes for Mr. Lenock, Mr. Kendon, and for the opportunity to give Lucas the opportunity to throw the football.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we weren't as happy with about last Friday night. I know Jerry's going to look at that in detail this week in practice, and we'll do even a better job of that this week than we did last week.
And finally, we'll end this on a neat note, is this past Friday. They call it Friday Night Lightning. The program is 12 teams, 12 weeks on the Weather Channel, the actual national Weather Channel. And if you're in West Branch and haven't watched that yet, you can go to westbranchfootball.com, and we have the piece there from the Weather Channel, the video. It's about a little under 3 minutes long. So far, we're right around 5,000 views of this thing. Coach Peterson told me a story off air that he got a note from an absolutely complete stranger from South Carolina saying, "This is pretty cool." Tell us about that.
Yeah, I got my email, and this little gal emailed me from South Carolina and said that she'd seen the show and was very impressed with the way it was handled, and she liked the nature of what we try to do here, and she just wished us good luck. And she said that she was going to be a Bear fan now for a long time, and that made me feel real good that, you know, that's when people saw that, and we gave a lot of credit to a lot of different people. And that's what I've always tried to do since I've been here as a head coach. It's never been my program. It's always been a football family, and it's football and a community tradition, and it's that's what it is, and that's what happened on that particular video. A lot of people that have touched that field have got a lot of positive memories, and we've got some people that have passed away that their ashes are on that field, so it's kind of a sacred place. And it's fun to be able to go up there and see old-timers come back and watch their games on the field that they used to play on, and I think that's what high school football at West Branch is all about.
And Stephen and Matt talked on this earlier in the program when they were talking with one another. Stephen specifically talked about how it's neat to see how the coaches here go to bat for their kids, the way they go to bat for kids. I'm sure coaches do that everywhere, but we're just around here, and I see it each and every year that there are kids that aren't going to be 6'2", 195 pounds, and run a 4.640 like Bo Bauer in high school all the time, but there are kids that bring their lunch pail to work each and every Friday night, throughout the week in practice, in the weight room. We hate to pick out names, but something I saw Friday, it was such a neat thing for me to watch. Tubbs, Jacob Jenrich, always is posting for you guys. I want to play linebacker. Coach, I'm the line. Get me in there at linebacker. He gets in there at linebacker, takes a gap. 2 yard loss for tackle for a loss, Coach.
Well, we train, and he's a fine-tuned specimen, a linebacker.
Yes.
And he showed us that night. He had a lot of fun, and he was wanting to get in there more in the future. So we'll have to see how that works out. But Tubbs is a hard worker, and always has been as well. And coaches need to support their kids. Those kids are out there. They're busting their butt every week for you in practice. They're hopefully good role models for the young kids in our community. And if you don't want to support that, then you really shouldn't be in coaching. And Stephen, like he. When when he said he was a 180-pound center, was not the strongest kid or what, maybe not the fastest kid, but he was one of the smartest kids we ever had in our life. And he got away with a lot of stuff, and he got every ounce of ability out of his body that he could give us. And those are the success stories that I have, and I've got, you know, hundreds of those stories just like that. But it's fun to see Steven come back now into our program and represent us in the booth.
Going to be a fun week, Coach. I know you're ready to get after it, just like any game. Come tomorrow, first day of practice. But just keeps getting more exciting each and every game, each and every year.
Yeah, we want to be able to go down there and win the ball game, be 8-0, and come back for our senior night. We have our Burning the Boots. That'll be out of Dan Hayes's that last week finish this thing in style. But again, what we always said, you got to play one game at a time. And I've been waiting for this game for 6 months as well. And I know the kids will be ready to play Friday night.
Well, as we mentioned earlier in the program, if Coach Peterson and the Bears win on Friday night, they will be a district champion for the first time since 2010, and for the 23rd time in the history of the program, either a district or a conference champion. We'll be back from the break here in about 20 seconds. You're listening to Talkin' Bear Football on WestBranchFootball.com. Welcome back to the final segment here. Live from Main Street Suites, we are Talkin' Bear Football, powered by Hoot Project on WestBranchFootball.com. Matt, we just had the opportunity to speak with Coach Peterson, radio webcast voice of the Bears. Stephen Grace joined us, and you joined us. I joined us.
It's an all-star cast.
This is a pretty good. If we could, we need to start doing this a little bit more. We need to start promoting a little bit more. Get more people down here to Main Street Suites on maybe a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday morning, whatever, and maybe we can start. We've talked about this in the future. Perhaps doing sort of a coach's corner type of thing like Coach Peterson and I are familiar with. And certainly Steven was familiar with it as well for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. A lot of years. So we know what that's all about. And I think from a West Branch perspective, who knows? Maybe we can invite some coaches from other schools. That brings more people to WestBranchFootball.com. Mm-hmm. You know, more listeners for us. You know, more attention we can give to, A, the website, but, B, more importantly, to our program. The better we are off, and that's exactly what we're trying to focus on here, is the West Branch football program.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. Hey, Jason, let's get to our favorite segment here.
Oh, goodness. I can tell you somebody it's not his favorite segment, but we're not going to get into names, but we're going to keep doing it because we've been doing it for 7 weeks, pick-to-click time.
I cannot tell you.
I was given someone mentioned to me that it wasn't their favorite segment, but he really enjoyed listening to our podcast, and I really thank him for his compliments, nice compliments about the podcast, and I appreciate that. But we got to keep it going because we've done it for 7 weeks, and we can't change now. You know, Coach Peterson is not big on change. If you didn't know this, he's about 1% superstitious, 99% no problem. Actually, it's probably 99% opposite. Superstitious and 1%. Okay, let's just keep, you know, who cares about status quo? But pick the click, Matt. You always have the opportunity to be the first pick. Last week, I believe you chose who?
I think I chose Devin Kinden.
Devin Kinden. I had Matt Shaver. And most importantly, the real pick to click was the West Branch Data Real MVP. The West Branch Bear football team clicked yet again for the seventh time this year. 7 wins, 0 losses, 1-0 each week. But for me and you, you're up 2-1. I'm going to go ahead and give it to
you right
now.
Thank you.
I've already chronicled his lunch pail performances throughout the year. And Kinden had yet another lunch pail performance on Friday night with a touchdown. 4 receptions, 34 yards, 1 touchdown reception, 5 carry 68 yards, 1 touchdown rush. So it's you know, you got me. Showtime Shaver had his moment in the sun the week before. I'm sure he's going to have another one again. Those two guys combined 40 receptions, 711 yards on the season, 711 out of the 1,058 yards Lamont has thrown for. So about 70% of his yardage goes to those guys. I'm not giving away any trade secrets out there if you're listening from another school. You know, he also has Mason Purple Hayes at 130 yards and Stickhand Sammy Aspermar with 127. You know, the Bears, he shares the wealth with his 13 touchdowns, 5 different receivers.
And if you try to shut down Shaver or Kinden, he's going to throw to Hayes and Aspermar.
Yeah. Sammy is the possession guy. If the Bears It is shown throughout each game. Whenever Sam makes a reception, it's usually
big spot,
moving the sticks kind of a possession.
Yeah.
He trusts Sammy if he's going to throw him the ball. That's why you call him hashtag StickHandSammy. StickHandSammy Alstermeyer. Yep. I mean, get it on Twitter again. Pick a click this week, Matt,
Well, real quick, we're going to run. We had some listener emails.
We did.
Not the 20. We're still not getting 20, so no T-shirts yet.
The T-shirts are – I think we're just going to keep them. Stephen Great's going to get that T-shirt, and he's not even making picks. We're just going to give it to him if we make it. He's going to get the first one for hosting the program.
So we had Mrs. Giese write in. Her pick to click was Austin Black. She predicted he would get back in the game and have three interceptions.
I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah.
What a story.
Mason Hayes had one.
Pick six, by the way, Purple Haze.
Pick six.
It was running through the speakers after that as well.
And then she predicted Lennox and Kennedy would both rush for 200 yards, ground and pound.
She stole my line. No, I probably stole hers because I said it for the next game. So.
We also had Brandon Lukuski write in. His pick to click was Luke Lennox. Pretty solid pick.
Yeah, each and every week, but
he did predict that he would rush over for 200 yards and 20 carries.
Okay.
A little short of that, but still a good performance. Let's see. Who else wrote in? Mike Westcott, the new guy.
I had the chance to meet him for the first time last week. What a great guy.
I met him on
Friday
night.
New to town this week.
I welcomed him to West Branch.
Yep. And he's actually going to be there Monday night for the Fresoff football game to run the scoreboard.
Wow, he's getting that involved.
Seriously, he moves into town and bam. He's in. People are going to go up there, who's that new guy in the press box? It's Mike Westcott.
Well, his pick to click was Lucas Lamont, which I think that's a
pretty solid pick each week as well.
Good pick again. You know, the strange thing here about the three emails we got, they all picked the Bears to win 56-0.
Yeah, they heard me.
Yeah,
they heard my pick. I guess they're giving me more credit than I deserve and trusting my picks. Stephen Grace said 42-0, so you should trust him more than I did. They trust me. That's why he has a moniker of the voice of radio.
The voice of radio.
He is of Hawkeye wrestling,
yeah,
and the Bear football. The Bear cast. I mean, I don't know if Ironside would give him that much trust, but we certainly do.
Well, Jason, my pick this week. Oh man, I'm going to once again go with Mason Hayes. I'm feeling a big breakout game from him. Feeling a big game.
Pick the click sponsored by EMS Detergent Services.
No.
Yeah. Stephen Grace has picked a click. He wrote in on his hand, got a tattoo. On one hand, the number 3. The second hand, the number 9. That's Nick Westcott.
That's his pick to click.
And maybe 39-0 was his score as well. There's some symmetry. We talked about it last week with that 8 and the 7 the week before.
Right.
39 and 39-0. So he's got everything already covered. So my pick to click this week is the West Branch Bear football team.
Oh, come on.
I am going to be generic.
You can't do that.
No, I can.
But you're not going to. I'm not going to allow you.
That's my real MVP. But my pick to click this week, I'm going to go up front and say, let's go with Big John. Sack man, got in the column 2 weeks ago. He skipped last week, but he didn't have any sacks.
He had a lot.
But he played.
Tackles,
and Jacob Giese.
Yeah.
It was like they were the quarterback club box up at McDonald's, just devouring that thing, devouring those
touchdown.
The Indian ball carriers. Anything between the tackles, there wasn't, because those two fellows were chomping it up like Pac-Man. So, Big John St. John is my pick to click. Mason Purple Haze with Matt. My score for this week, West Branch will win an emotional football game that's not going to be close, but there'll be some emotions involved. I am going to say 56-6 is my final score on Friday night. Stephen Grace, what do you think? 45-3 is his final score.
I am going to go 59-14.
59-14.
Yep.
West Branch?
Yes.
Was there a reason why you picked number 59?
Mm.
That's Jacob Giese's jersey number, you know.
Oh, that is interesting.
You're welcome.
That's interesting.
Just a little side note.
Huh.
Just a little side note.
I picked 59 because I'm guessing 8 touchdowns, if I did my math right, with extra points, plus A Devin Kindon field goal.
A Kindon 27-yard field goal to bring the scoring to 59-14.
Yep. That or a 59-yard field goal.
That was the pick to click, and our score projections, make sure to send yours contact at westbranchfootball.com or tweet us, @WBBearsFootball, or like us on Facebook with the West Branch Football page. Give us your scores, Matt.
You can also leave at the bottom of this post, if you're listening to the show on the website, there's a comment section. You can go ahead and leave your pick to click and your score down there. I know Dan Hayes, you'll find that.
Yep. And by the way, I hate to disappoint you, Mr. Hayes, but you're over-under on me confusing the Lenox and Lamont. You put it at 3 or 4 last week when I was on the live mic up at the football field. It was 0 because I was really concentrating on getting my LLs.
Good job,
the
Dan.
Lukes and the LLs. Thinking. Dan, you lost that battle, but you won the war because you're fighting a good fight for me to make sure I don't make those mistakes and slight any kids with Drake. Yeah, I throw a Drake Kindon out there once in a while. It's a twin brother, but he doesn't even play football. But I you know, old habits dying hard here. At any rate, man, I think we've wrapped it up. We could put that bow on it and put it under the tree again this week. 7 wins, 0 losses. Going to make the playoffs again this year. Going to be a home field advantage for at least 1 week. If they win Friday night, it's going to be for a minimum of 2 because the Bears will be district champions with a win on Friday night at Wilton.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going
to
be a fun night.
Looking forward to getting back out there. As you said before, it's going to be an emotional game. Yeah. And I really hope the Bears take this week in practice to really shore a lot of those things up. Be a very consistent football team. Work on that secondary because Wilton's going to come out and pass, and they're going to be able to score.
Well, I think it's kind of nice, again, to bring up, if you haven't had the opportunity, to go on westbranchfootball.com and check out the nice feature, little featurette, I guess we'll call it. It was a little less than 3 minutes. The Weather Channel did on West Branch. You can still go to the front page of westbranchfootball.com and check out the Weather Channel's piece on Friday Night Light, hashtag Friday Night Lightning, 12 teams, 12 weeks. And in honor of the Weather Channel, their projected forecast for Friday night, October 17th in Wilton, 66 degrees, sunshiny skies, 42 for a low, but a west northwest wind at 18 miles per hour and a 100% chance of pain. Pull out your Clubber Lang Rocky 3. What do you predict about this game? Predictions? Pain. That's what he said about that Rocky fight. Well, Matt, always fun chatting with you. Thanks, Steve and Grace, for joining us and for hosting us here at Main Street Suites, and for all the staff here at Main Street Suites as well. And specifically Steven's wife for allowing him out of the house today to come down and join us for a little while. And Coach Peterson, same with you. Thanks, Jenny, for all you do up in the press box with the snacks and for taking care of Butch all 34 years of coaching. But Matt, thank you again for joining us. It's always fun being here on the program after 7 weeks. Let's get to that district championship next week. That will be fun to talk about, won't it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next episode, especially if the Bears can pull this one out Friday.
If they win and the impending storm win, it's always a great week. Okay, no fantasy football talk.
Yeah, well, that's off the air here.
That's off the air.
Yep.
Speaking of off the air, he's over there, I'm over here, and we're gone. Because that's the end of this Talking Bear Football podcast.
On westbranchfootball.com.
Take care, everyone.